Good morning. It's great seeing you in person, and welcome those online as well. I've met a lot of you, and LifePoint feels like a second church home to my wife and I. When I come here and preach, I don't feel like I'm a visiting preacher. I feel like I'm coming to home, so thank you so much for making us feel that way. My wife and I co-founded Grace Marriage and are honored working with your church to try to impact marriages for the glory of God. So thank you so much for making us feel at home. Today's sermon is really out of personal conviction. It is, it's called The Shallowness Conspiracy, Time Plus Focus Equal Love. It's like we're in a world that's gotten faster and faster and busier, cell phones, technology, and then what gets squeezed out is quiet time with Jesus Christ. And as it's Palm Sunday, I pray the Lord uses this sermon just to prepare your hearts and prepare your minds so that you can stop and just think on Jesus and fix your eyes on things above and just enjoy Him and know you're delighted in Him and just celebrate our risen King. So, because now it's with Facebook and everything else, a lot of us have thousands of likes, but we don't receive a lot of love. So Romans tells us, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So what we want to do is stop and go deep. Go deep with Jesus, go deep with one another in marriage and in friendships. And the answer is Psalm 46:10, cease striving and know that He's Lord. Ask yourself, how often am I totally still, not looking at a cell phone, not doing an activity? I'm just totally still at the feet of Jesus. And I was so convicted that I'm so worried about things of this world, so worried about ministry, so worried about impacting marriages, that I'm so focused on ministry, I'm not focused on Jesus Christ Himself. And the Lord used a ministry friend to convict me. There's this lady, she's been in ministry for decades. She's a best-selling author. She was a host of Focus on the Family for 4 years. She's a national podcast. And my wife and I were blessed to get to know her and spend time with her. So I couldn't wait to ask her questions about the book we have coming up, should we do a podcast, and all these ministry questions for her. And I asked her before we started, I said, you've been in ministry decades. I've been in ministry about 5 years. What general advice would you give me? And she said, Brad, spend a life pursuing Jesus Christ, not a life pursuing ministry. You focus on Him. You enjoy Him. You delight in Him. Everything else will take care of itself. And she reminded me of what Jesus told Mary. Only one thing matters. And we're going to all learn that sooner or later. I was visiting a dear friend yesterday who has heart problems and found out he has leukemia, and he went from a full-time worker to just scared to death to die overnight. And it just reminded me, I need to spend my time pursuing Jesus and pursuing and loving those around me, not in a frantic, cell phone-dominated world. And back to the conversation with that lady, it was interesting, too, because I talked to her for about an hour and a half, and when I hung up, I did not have a worry in the world. It was like I'd had an encounter with the peace of Jesus Christ. Now we've had 2 calls for a total of almost 3 hours. I still have not asked her one ministry question because she has something so much better to offer me than ministry advice. She is turning me toward the heart of Jesus where peace is found. So what I want to encourage you today is to fight this busy culture. The encouragement today is to make a lot of time for Jesus Christ, to make a lot of time for one another, and then fight the distractions of the world, fight the cell phone, fight the email, fight Netflix, and go deep with Jesus. Draw near to him. Enjoy one another. Because listen to the story of Mary and Martha out of Luke 10. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Martha was living a life, serving, trying to do the right thing. But she was missing the one thing that mattered, and that was just sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and enjoying him. And I've taught this passage before, and what do you hear people in the crowd say? "Well, we need Marthas." You know, I get that, but we need Marthas. But he's rebuking Martha. And listen to what one book said. "We're so steeped in the air of working for God that we're determined to defend Martha. In straining to give her some due, some merit, we're defending our own self-conscious labors and hoping they too will count for God. They will not. Make no mistake, Jesus scolded Martha." So the application for today, let's not live a busy, dominated, distracted life. Let's all work to slow down and have extended periods of worship and enjoying Jesus. Because Martha chose busyness. Martha chose serving. Martha chose activity. Mary chose to spend undistracted time with her Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, she chose the better. Now I'm going to show you this continuum that I created. It's called the time focus continuum. Okay, one, think about how much time do I make just to be with the Lord and enjoy him? And how focused is that time? So one, in the top, you have time abundance, where you have plenty of margin, you're not rushed, life feels relatively slow. Then you have time scarcity, where you're busy, you're hurried. Then at the bottom, you have distracted, where you're on and off your cell phone, you're checking email, you're making calls. Then you have focused, where everything's shut off, and you're just fixed your eyes on him. And when you're with other people, you're totally focused on them. So what I want to challenge you to is the top quadrant up here, where you live a life that you have plenty of time for one another, you have plenty of time for Jesus, and you intentionally fight the distractions of the world to stay focused. Because let's think about it. What are the two greatest commandments? Remember, Jesus was asked, what are the two greatest commandments? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love? Love is determined by how much time you offer to something. The more time I offer to my wife, undistracted, the closer we feel, the more we enjoy one another, and the better our marriage works. The more time that I make just to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I feel at peace, the more I feel calm, the more I feel I can trust God in the midst of a chaotic world. So first and foremost, before your marriage, before your friendship, prioritize time with Jesus. And if you're like me, time with Jesus just became a to-do list, an item that I'm supposed to do that I know good Christians do, that I feel guilty about, and I need to make sure I do because that's what I ought to do. It wasn't where I would sit down with a cup of coffee and long to sit on a couch and just, Lord, I want to hear from you. I just want to soak and marinate in your word. I want to read scripture to more fully realize how I am your adopted son, how you delight in me, how I am totally forgiven, how you are totally in control. And when I had that conversation with that lady about ministry, she said, Brad, if you want to get good at something, don't get good at ministry. Get good at worship. Get good at worship, where you totally lock in to bring our King glory. And today's Palm Sunday, and listen to what Matthew 21:19 says. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So let's worship him today. And the individual that I've shared before, Doug Hicknell, he's had the biggest impact on my life. When I was around him, I felt the peace of Christ. I would go to him, stressed, worried, and have trouble breathing deeply. And I would leave his presence just feeling like, no worry in the world, in love with Jesus. But you know what Doug did every morning? He would take about 45 minutes. He'd turn worship music on. I'd walk in the den of his house. He'd have headphones on with his arms raised. And he would marinate in the love of God. And then when he finished, everybody would just benefit from that. And he lived a life of prayer. I remember we were in I may have shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. We were in a restaurant, and this guy came up to us, and dude was drunk. I mean, it was like he was slurring. He came up to our table, and, you know, I'm thinking, man, dude, this is my time with my friend. Please don't interrupt it. But Doug turned to this guy and was so sweet to him and so kind to him. And then when I walked out of the restaurant to go to the car, the guy walked up to me and goes, man, I love it when that dude comes in here. He said, he's one nice fella. He's so nice. Then we got in the car, and Doug started crying and begged the Lord to release this man from the bonds of alcoholism. And I was so convicted that I don't live a life of prayer and a life of love. I live a life focused on getting to the next thing and getting the next thing done. So time in the Word, worship. And I don't know how many of you practice a Sabbath, but if you take 24 hours and say, God, I just trust you. I trust you with home activities. I trust you with work activities. And I'm just going to take a full day and just rest in you. A friend of mine did that. And it was amazing the impact it had on his spirit. Well, he started feeling guilty. He's like, I'm taking 24 hours away from my family. Now, a lot of you don't have that opportunity, but he did. So he felt guilty. He said, I'm going to stop doing it. And I love what his wife told him. He said, look, I would rather you be nice 6 days a week and be gone one than you be snappy, stressed, and cold 7 days a week. Scripture tells us we need a Sabbath. We need time. And I don't know about you, but just time alone with total nothingness is hard on me. This summer, I had a bout with anxiety, and I'd never really struggled with it before, but being alone by myself was hard. When I would stop everything and be by myself, I would feel short of breath. But I noticed if I would scroll my cell phone or if I would do a work activity, I would start feeling better. I was at a point where I just couldn't enjoy time alone with Jesus. And since then, I have instituted a Sabbath. I've tried to do a little bit better about time with the Lord. And now I drove here this morning from Owensboro for 2.5 hours, and I was totally fine not listening to the radio or listening to a podcast or distracting my mind to deal with life. Because work starts with rest. Listen to this quote, work does not begin with work. God's work must begin with rest. It then moves out from rest to power and performance. Work that does not start with rest is work without Christ's approval or participation. Life is confusing. insolvable. Need screams your name. You have nothing to give to him until you are filled with him. And as I was reflecting on this sermon, I was thinking about the people that have had the biggest impact on me. The folks that I just want to be around, that I feel like it's a gift from God just to have the opportunity to be around them. And all of them were the people that spent the most time alone with Christ. And as a result, their impact was so strong because you were impacting the fruit of the Spirit. You were impacting the peace of God. You were intersecting with that, and you were benefiting from it. So when I'm around those people, it takes me from stress to peace, from worry to relaxation. And I just ask you, do you spend undistracted time with the Lord? And when people are around you, do you feel like their peace levels rise? So first and foremost, above everything, make time for God. And second, make time for one another, specifically your spouse. I've been working in the marriage space for a long time. And I was thinking, what is the number one indicator of whether a marriage does well or a marriage does poorly? And it's how much time the couple spends together. The research shows if a couple spends 5 hours of undistracted one-on-one time together, they are likely to be in the top 3% of marital satisfaction. My wife and I have been on a date once a week for about the last 24 years. The last 3 or 4 weeks, I've caught myself traveling too much for work. In just 3 weeks of not being close to Maryland, we found ourselves being distant, cold. And then the last week, we started spending time together again, and God used the time to close the gap. So the rhythms, if you're married, the rhythms I want to suggest to you are, make sure you have at least 5 hours of one-on-one undistracted time per week. For us, what it looks like is about a 3 to 4 hour date night once a week, or date afternoon, or whenever we can find time away from our kids. And then about 30 minutes a night, we just sit down and we debrief about our day. How was your day? How was your day? And we just talk and we connect and we make sure that we're fully into one another's world. And if possible, and for some of you it's not, for some it is, get away for a night, a quarter, away from everything. Because you'll find the more you spend time with the Lord and the more you spend undistracted time in relationship with others, the more life will settle and start slowing down. And what do the Proverbs say? He who hurries errs in his ways. And when I get caught up with Grace Marriage, I get caught up with the housework, I get caught up with running kids everywhere, I find myself raising my voice at my kids. I find myself doing stuff I don't like. I find myself feeling stressed. I find myself having physical symptoms. Time with the Lord and time with another protects us. Listen to Mark 14:38. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now look at this next slide. So the more time in prayer, the more time with God, the less spiritually complacent you are, and the further you move away from entering into temptation. When you get dominated by the activities of the world, dominated by trying to be a good Christian, dominated by spiritual fatigue can occur, and people can find themselves making mistakes they never, ever thought they would make. Have a friend, loves Jesus, loved ministry, grew a church to a massive size, spent a ton of time on church growth strategy, spent a ton of time on all these things. It squeezed out time with his wife. It squeezed out time with his God. And his last great sermon was the week before they found out he was in an affair. And now he's out of ministry completely. because he was dominated by ministry, not by Jesus. Now, I get it. We're in a really tough time to do this. And it takes prioritization. It takes blocking off time and saying, nobody gets it. I block off a date night with my wife and somebody asks me to speak, somebody asks me to counsel. I say, no, I've got something on my schedule already. When I get into work, I try to make sure that I have time with the Lord, and then sometimes I schedule over it and I pay the price for it. And I ask myself, why is this so hard? It's because a lot of times pride instead of humility, self-sufficiency instead of dependence. We seek more affirmation from people than we do from the Lord. Because not many people are going to tell you, hey, just quit working so hard. Quit serving so many people. Quit doing so much. Just spend more time with your spouse. Just enjoy the relationships in your life. Make the most of them. My daughter is going to be here at the 10:45 service. She's got an internship here in Nashville. And I have an opportunity to shut down the cell phone and just praise God and thank him for undistracted, wonderful time with a beautiful 20-year-old daughter that God's graced me with. Or I have the opportunity to look at my cell phone, jump on and off the cell phone, call the house, look at other things, and run through that and miss it. And I fear for me that I'm missing more than I'm experiencing. The other day, I had about an hour and a half drive with my kid number three. And I was probably on and off 7 different phone calls in an hour and a half. And instead of having a wonderful time enjoying my daughter, I had a frantic time putting out fires and talking to others. So what we're asking you to do today is make time, fight distractions. What does 2 Corinthians 9:6 say? It says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So in marriage, a friend of mine, his name's Jonathan, his wife's name Renee. They had an okay marriage. They had 3 kids, 1 with special needs. They said, our marriage was good. We were fine. We weren't in crisis. They got into a marriage ministry structure. Then they started spending time together like we're talking about. He said, now we don't have an okay marriage. I absolutely love being married. Every week, I can't wait to the time I get to spend with Renee. Now they do things together. They have a blast together. And now when people watch Jonathan and Renee married, they're drawn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're drawn to the institution of marriage because they watch Jonathan and Renee and think, man, that is cool. That is sweet. And right now, marriages like that, they're like a cute anomaly. Well, isn't it sweet? And they hold hands, they do stuff. At Life Point, we want to make that the norm, not the exception, but it takes going complete countercultural. It takes fighting distractions, fighting pressures. And one of the massive distractions right now is a cell phone. I hate it, and I'm controlled by it. If I could throw that thing out the window, I would. But I'm so accustomed to being dominated by it. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. How many of y'all will be with friends, be with your spouse, and think, oh, I wonder what the weather is going to be like tomorrow? Oh, I wonder who won the NCAA game last night. Kentucky, it doesn't matter because it's March sadness for us. Yeah, March sadness, 9-15 sadness. So, but I will have a thought, and now I act on the thought with my phone. But we want to make every thought obedient to Christ. So what I want you to do is when you're with somebody and your phone's in your pocket and you think of something, think 10-5. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You're with somebody and you think, man, I need to check my email, see if they responded, 10-5. I'm going to stay focused on you. You're in your quiet time and you think, I'm going to check my schedule real quick and see what my appointments are this afternoon, 10-5. I'm not going to do it. I am going to stay focused on Christ, stay focused on one another, and I'm going to go deep and enjoy the sweetness of relationship. I'm not going to be dominated by every thought, acting on it with a cell phone. The average adult spends 3 hours and 4 minutes a day. Now, this is adult on the cell phone. Email. If you use email, check it once or twice a day. Don't check it over and over. Get rid of the icon on your phone that you can check your email right away. Don't have notifications so it buzzes every time it rings. Fast from social media, or at least limit it. And when you're tempted to just scroll Facebook because it's easier to do that than just sit in boredom by yourself, think 10-5, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make time to hear from God. And unless we're willing to be bored, unless we're willing to stand in line at the grocery and just stand there and not look at a phone, we're not going to hear from the Lord unless we make space to hear from the Lord. If I binge read scripture like I binge watched some Netflix show, I would be in a lot better shape. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a big anti-TV guy. I love watching shows with my daughter. It's one of our favorite things to do together. But it needs to come after deep connection. Because if, and I say if, we can stiff arm the world, if we can fight off distractions, if we can really let God work in us, it's going to be powerful. And Easter will take on a whole new celebratory meaning. Because influence is about who you are and what dominates you, not on how much you do. It's been said the power of influence is a scent rather than a speech, a mystery instead of an explanation. Recently, I was at my mother-in-law's house, and I was there for a while, and one of my kids goes, "Wow, Dad, you smell like Grandma's house." You ever, any of you have like a grandmother that their house has a unique smell, that you just know that smell? Why did I smell like Grandma's house? I spent a lot of time in Grandma's house. And if we want to have this scent, the aroma, the sweetness, the peace, the grace, the slowness of Jesus, where are we going to have to spend a lot of time? With Jesus. That we make relationship the priority, not a distraction. That productivity takes a back seat. Because right now, this busy, distracted, shallow culture is about to completely destroy the family. 40 to 50% of marriages end in divorce. The vast majority of the rest of them look boring. We wonder why our younger generation isn't drawn to marriage. We wonder why there's a 900% increase in cohabitation. But then we look in the mirror and see, if there's a 50% chance it ends in divorce, and if it doesn't end in divorce, it's going to be boring. Why would they want to move toward marriage? So let's live out marriage so our younger people say, "I can't wait for the day I get to do that." How did I, an attorney, end up in marriage ministry? Young people came to us and asked us to do their premarital, and I said, "Why?" They said, "Because we want what you have that looks like fun." Hebrews 13:4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor by all." Right now, it's become a mockery. 40% of young adults believe it's obsolete and doesn't even have a place in society. How do we turn the jacked up train around? We live it out like God intended. We find out it's an oasis in the desert. It's a great gig that God gave us to richly enjoy. We put into practice what Jesus told Mary: one thing is necessary. There's going to be a day for all of us when just everything falls apart. For my friend Bob, it was last week. You've got cancer and a heart problem, and you probably won't be around much longer. I hung with him and looked at him. He was scared to death in his eyes. And when that happens, nobody wishes they had made more money. Nobody wishes they had got more done. Everybody wishes they had spent more time with those they love and spent more time with Jesus Christ. Wow. That was kind of weird, wasn't it? But I'll tell you, relationship is so much sweeter than productivity. On a mission trip, I went to Nicaragua. I went down there, no cell phone coverage, nothing to do, no television, anything for like 8 days. After 5 days, I was the happiest I'd been in decades. I felt calm. I was like enjoying people. I didn't feel stressed. I didn't feel pressured. And then we got on the shuttle bus in Houston coming back, and I could feel the weight and the stress of people hurrying to their cars, hurrying here, hurrying there. And I thought, oh, no, I'm back. People said, oh, no, you would miss the modern conveniences. I'm not sure I would. It was so pleasant being totally focused on relationship. Because right now there's two problems at destroying families. One, the paradigm of how we do marriage is all jacked up. Right now, people work on their marriage. If it ever gets so bad, one of them can't take it, then they call one of their pastors or a counselor, say, please help us. LifePoint has a marriage ministry to take you wherever you are, protect it, and help you grow it to the next level, an investment approach, a growth approach, where my marriage gets more and more time, and God gets more and more glory, and we will not settle into a stagnant norm. We will not let dysfunction continue to become the norm. My daughter in high school was asked the question, which parent do you live with? Because divorce and dysfunctions become the norm. A girl came to our house and lived with us for a while during the pandemic. When she left, she told one of my daughters, your parents are the first parents I've ever seen that seem to really like each other and want to spend time together. I love this girl. She's sweet. She's awesome. She's confused. She's struggling. She's never had function modeled, and now she's suffering the consequence of it. So the answer is an investment mentality, and we're blessed at Grace Marriage. We have a special relationship with LifePoint that we don't have with any other church in our network of 116 churches. We are partnering together to figure out marriage ministry together so it becomes the norm in churches all over the country. We're trying new things. We're working together. We're getting feedback, and we want you to be part of it. If you have not signed up for Grace Marriage, if you have not signed up for the marriage ministry of LifePoint, please sign up today. We want children and children ministry, youth and youth ministry, and if you're married, you're in marriage ministry, and you're working together toward having a better and better marriage. All we're asking is 4 hours of undistracted time with your spouse once every 90 days. During that time, it won't be 4 hours of teaching. You won't be forced to share things you don't want to share in front of others. You'll just have a platform to cast vision together, to talk about what we would like our marriage to look like, how can we take it to the next level, celebrate wins, plan time together, and continue to grow your marriage over time. The curriculum is different every single quarter. It's not a one and done. It's not a program. It is, I'm committed to investing in my marriage on a continual basis to grow it more and more. And the vision that LifePoint and Grace Marriage has is that 3-4 years from now, this sanctuary is full of church leaders all over the country being taught how to do marriage ministry well, and that LifePoint not only impacts the marriages in here and online and the other campuses, but all over this country and world. And that God uses LifePoint and Grace Marriage to change how church does marriage and change how people life it out. So why every 90 days? Why 4 hours every 90 days? The same reason businesses do quarterly assessments. So they can address what's going well, so they can seize on what's not going well. So you can assess how you're doing and plan together. And I know some folks saying, I just don't know. We have time. We have a busy life. We have to have time for marriage. We have to have time for Jesus. And my wife, I'll be back May 1st to lead the first session in here. And I'd love to see you in here with me. And your other leaders will be leading other sessions. We're doing 3 sessions in here in 2021. We're thankful to be back from the pandemic. I just ask you to join me in prayer that the Lord would start a movement to restore his order, to protect people from going through the pains of crisis and divorce. And how do we do it? We set the example in our own marriage. We set the example in our church. In closing, I just want you to think about your life and ask yourself, how much time? Do I have an abundance of time that I give to Jesus? Abundance of time I give to my spouse and good friends? Or is it scarce and distracted? For me, I'm very convicted that it's distracted and not enough. So thank you for the privilege of being here. I'll pray God blesses your church and your marriages. Lord, we just thank you for Life Points. We thank you for the marriages in here. We thank you those that have stepped forward in leadership. Thank you for the special relationship that my family has with Life Point. I thank you for the special relationship our ministry has with Life Point. I pray for every marriage in here, and I pray that we would be an example for churches all over this country in how to do marriage ministry well. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.